Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 10 minutes past the hour of 6. It's the 22nd of April 2026. And I know that we are pushing toward deep into the year. We are greeting you from the number one favorite talk radio station, wherever you are. We understand that the weather is changing, whether it's cold or it's hot. Yeah, you do not have a reason to continue sleeping this time. You need to stand up and think. You need to stand up and focus on the game because, you know, the goals of national development and also community development does not care whether you are feeling cold or not, does not care whether you are feeling you are in the mood or not, because the decisions that you are making today, particularly the decisions that are impacting the way things are economically, these are the decisions that are going to define how your grandchildren will be able to survive. And if you fail to act now, understand that in the long term, when history will start judging us, be able to understand that you also have an impact on that aspect. That's why we are always indicating to say every Namibian, when you are waking up and you are able, make sure that you work hard to the best of your abilities, because tomorrow is never guaranteed, but you always need to make sure that you do the best, so that when it comes to growing of this country, we should not only look at investors, look at somebody from outside to come and deal with our problems. And the one thing that we need to know is that our ignorance too, and our lack of you know, resilience, and also the lack of the love of our country, other people also take advantage of it. And they will be able to exploit that situation for their own advantage. That's why it's always important to make sure that if you are waking up and you have energy, do not complain. Do what you can do best. Plan what you can plan best. Because good things take time. There is somebody who, I think it's a slang which has been used to say in Imoeto, or things are coming. But it's a very good thing to say things are coming, but they are coming when you are working toward those things. We have a lot of projects that we have started as a country that need finalization. We have a lot of ambitions. And the question is always to say, when are we going to see finalizations of projects? Can we see finalization of a bigger project that can save us in the long term? And today, the conversation of today, we'll be looking at the advice from International Monetary Fund, particularly when it comes to sub-Saharan Africa, and also what they need to do about their economies. And remember that today is a Wednesday, and we also have the Villager newspaper, which is out. We are also going to give you a snapshot of what is in the Villager newspaper. Either is content of economics, either is advertisement, either is academic institutions, or is opinionated paper. Make sure that if you are looking for economic intelligence, economic insight, deal with the Villager newspaper. And it's quite important also to look at what is happening around the world. Know that there was supposed to be a renegotiation yesterday. There was supposed to be a renegotiation yesterday between United States of America and Iran, and that did not materialize. And there is a growing mistrust between two parties. It's continuation of growing mistrust between two parties. And yesterday, the President of United States of America, Donald Trump, indicated that the military is ready to engage militarily. And analysts, and also public intellectual, either in Iran, are indicating that it was a moment for Trump to buy time, either rebuilding his army, so that the war will continue. The question is not about who is going to win, it's not who is going to come out victorious. The question is that to what extent is the impact of continuation of war will be. And when you look at Iran, it seems like being hardline or being, uncompromising continue to be shared among the negotiators. That's why they are also indicating to say If it's about militarily, they are ready for the scenarios. And if you look on social media, you'll be able to see that they are parading also weapons in the city of Tehran. And you're asking yourself a question to say, where were these weapons? Were they just manufactured now? Or they have been underground? And the question that the world is always asking is to say, how many rockets, how many ballistic missiles, how many drones Iran has? Because that would define too how it can prolong the war. Because in average, they shoot around 100 drones a day. If you look at almost the whole month, that is an average. In some days can go to 120. Some days they fire 80. But you also be able to see that, you know, there is a high chance that the war in the Middle East will continue due to the effect of growing mistrust. And there's a lot of unpredictability. One of the things that you must be very clear, and you must know is that this is also in the hands of Trump, particularly when he won this outcome, because he determined most of the happenings, particularly whether you how to meet, either is what America is putting on the table. But we are yet to see how things are going to turn out, to say at what point the Middle East war will come to an end. And when it comes to the objective of war, to say, is the objective really regime change? Is the objective really obliterating or destroying of nuclear facilities? Is the objective of the war is about oil and gas? What is the real objective of the war? And is America going to put soldiers on the ground if the situation get to that level? And at what cost too? And for how long Iran is going to endure? Because we have also seen women painting drones pink, and also holding AK-47 in the street of Tehran. And it's really a worrisome moment, particularly to a consumer nation, particularly to the developing economies, particularly to countries that are not self-sustaining, because another addition of days to the conflict so could be another extension of pain to African countries and to Namibia too. And that is something that you really need to think about, particularly in the long term. And I want to also to indicate that when you look at today's conversation, we'll be able to see that many African countries, they really suffered. And I think Namibia in the short term, we have done well. In the short term, we have done well. But the question is that for how long the economy will endure that pressure from outside. Yeah, looking at another news, particularly at the continental level, it states that Sudan civil war enters its fourth year, and the military chief of Sudan meet with Saudi Arabian Crown Prince in Jeddah, particularly to discuss about the solutions the civil war in Sudan. Understand that Sudan is one of the richest country in terms of natural resources. It has oil. It is also among the fastest growing economies. But at the same time, the country is faced with conflict, particularly internal conflict. And the reports are indicating that the kingdom already invests more than $35 billion in Sudan, most which goes to agricultural projects. That's why they are acting as mediators. And you really ask yourself a question to say, is it a policy of AU? Is it just African leaders? Or is there any other influence? When they have conflict at home, why do they run to Asia? Why do they run to Europe? Why do they run to USA? If you are fighting with your your neighbor, for example, or at home you don't have peace, instead of you even going to your neighbor, why do you have to go to another village so that you can look for a solution? Is it really making any sense? We have seen it many times. There is conflict in DRC. People are flying and go to the US. There is conflict in Sudan. The fighting parties are going to Qatar. They are going to, to Saudi Arabia. Is it really fair? Or is it just because African, and I think our leaders, they are not being treated fairly. How can you go and look for solutions outside your own continent? Is it really that we don't have mechanisms in place? Is it really that we do not have resources? Can it be done the other way? Let me say there's conflict in Europe and the fighting parties come to Africa for solutions. Maybe they come here to Namibia so that we can mediate. It's not fair. But it's also showing that the level of development where we are, it's also showing that the level of trust that we also have in ourselves, that we can run this institution, we can run this continent, all of us. And looking also at what Africa have put on the table, particularly looking at Agenda 2063, you'll really be able to see that there is quite a long way to go, especially if silencing of guns did not start yet. Because remember, Africa is the only country, is the only continent with is the only continent so far which has we still have civil wars. Even South America is the only continent where you find civil wars in the 21st century. You realize that we are still far from each other. We are still thinking about, where we are going to eat in the next 2 days, why the world is traveling to the moon. Yoweri Museveni, the president of Uganda, said why we are busy dancing. The US are already at the moon. They are already, around our common property. But we are just here dancing. But it's also something that we really should look at as Africans, and also see to say, if you want solutions, if I want solutions to African problems, does it really mean I have to go outside the continent? And how many African leaders came from outside with real solutions to African problems? And moving forward, the state that China has indicated that to strengthen its cooperation with Africa, particularly looking at its relation with African states. And it has also stated the president of Mozambique, that is Daniel Chapo, had a talk with Chairman Xi Jinping in Beijing, that is yesterday, especially when they speak about China-Mozambique community and also the future of economic cooperation and diplomatic relations. And it also indicated that coming to that aspect, understand that from the 1st of May, all the 53 African countries which have diplomatic relation with China will have zero tariff treatment on 100% of tariff lines, and China will expand, trade relations. And understand that this is a direct economic challenge to the Western world too, to say if you are going to trade with China, from the 1st of May, particularly us, with good relation with China, we'll be able to understand that when it comes to tariffs, there will be zero tariff treatment, and that will also be a benefit, particularly to African economies. And the interesting thing is also that the question is that what is that thing of value that African countries are selling to China as a final product? Because this will only happen, this will only be advantageous, particularly when you are selling at the final product. And it's a very good thing. Maybe we'll see another return in minerals such as uranium and also critical earth minerals. Understand that the world is changing. People are now looking at the critical earth minerals. If you have your natural diamond in the international market, people will just look at you like, how are you, say, and, you know, which world are you living in? Because although diamonds still have quality, natural diamond is no more a priority to the world. Maybe the demand will still come, but for now the world is looking at, you know, lab-made diamonds, and that would be a very good thing. And really, I think when it comes to AGOA, Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, which is extended until the end of this year, I think this will be a direct challenge to AGOA too, because China continue to become the most favorable country, particularly to trade with Africa and also other part of the world. I think their economic game plan is a bit advanced compared to other regions. And the other thing is also that China is also a reliable partner to trade with, because they don't intervene into your internal affairs. They don't influence your domestic politics. Whether you are beating each other at home, China is concerned with their interest and also assisting you where you have agreed on. They don't come and influence you. They come and do business with you. And that is what's happening. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to continue with the conversation.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of
its staff.
Why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, it's 30 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. There is a recent report by Amnesty International. It's an international non-governmental organization, particularly looking at human rights, looking at peace, and also looking at the aspect of human relations. The report has indicated, given a very strong warning, particularly looking at the Middle East war. Amnesty International has warned predatory world order. Has also indicated that currently, as we are speaking, the world is faced with the most challenging moment that could destroy all that was built up over the last 8 years, particularly looking at what the preface of the communication from the Secretary General, Agnes Kalamada, looking at that context. The document indicated also that the leaders of United States, Israel, and Russia the document has also signaled conflict and also what the leaders, they name them, not so a good name. I want you to read this report yourself and also try to understand what is going on. And they have mentioned Netanyahu and also other global leaders as predators. Such leaders have rejected the multilateral system, which are developed in favor of vision without it's a very tough out report. And the Secretary General of Amnesty International is really very angry. But getting that context is also showing that the world is so disorganized than it has ever been before. And the multilateral institutions, particularly those which are established after the Second World War, are no more respected. And that's also indicating either is international conventions. Either is United Nations and its principles on peace and stability, and also the principles of non-aggressor nations. And, the report is giving a comparative analysis, particularly how the world have been and how it is now. It does not only look at the Middle East, but it's also looking at other parts also, even including Africa. But it's a very interesting report to look at. It's named The State of the World's Human Rights from Amnesty International. It's recently released in April 2026. It's the latest document that you can get, so that at least you can get 1 or 2 points, particularly when it comes to how the world is operating. While we are there, I think it's quite necessary to look at the leaders of what the leaders of the world are saying, particularly when it comes to the audition of United Nations Secretary General. It's the highest position in the world that you can ever have, because this is a position even the president, they have to apply and they have to be interviewed. Because if you reach all the ranks, because I've been telling people to say the highest position in public sector, for example, is executive director, That is the highest position you can do, particularly if we are speaking about qualification. Let us take out the aspect of political leaders. The ED, or if you are in corporate, it's a CEO, and in politics, that is the president. But when you go to international level, then you find out the organizer of World Cup of Diplomacy. That is United Nations, the multilateral institution that started in 1945, particularly the transition from League of Nations. But you'll be able to see that when you apply to that position, it's not only heavy, it's responsibility, because you are overseeing what is happening around the world, and you are required to be there. And technically, everybody is under you, not in terms of power, but in terms of the arrangement. But you also need to be recruited. You also need to be recruited. That is how the system is working. And yesterday, the president of, or the former president of Chile, was on stage, and she was speaking to say she's going to transform this institution. She's going to transform UN. She's going to focus on human rights advancement. She also spoke on Africa representation, the United Nations Security Council. The question is that really true? Or is just part of things that we do at the interview to say, I can work under pressure. I can even do extra projects. But after 2 days, you are chasing your supervisor with the shoe, or you are fighting with your boss. Or is that really what is also happening? And it's also interesting to see a president being interviewed, or a former president being interviewed. But what I want you to listen at is especially the presentation of Michelle Bachelet, Nigeria. I want you to listen to the African position, because somebody is interested in the African context. There are two ambassadors who ask good questions, particularly those which are related to us. Those which are related to It's, there was a question from permanent representative to United Nations, Mali's permanent representative Issa Konfu-Rau, and also the question that Namibia also asked at that platform, especially from Basanda Pentanada. I want you to look at the context, particularly from the questions that were asked from the representative of Mali to the United Nations. This said 2013. So let's look at the short commercial break, then we can come back shortly.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
staff. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually
to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoe ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwana. Kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And the question is always, what is in for us when Africans are at an international platform? Are they asking what is in for us? Or they are going in with what the world is doing? You know, we must look at this. We must look at it this way. Look at the structure of economic fragmentation in Namibia, for example. You have... You can say you have kids of same age, but a different part of Namibia. One is so concerned about the medical aid of his dog at home because other areas are already covered. And the other one is only looking for shoes to say, I want shoes so I can go to school. Or I want a proper, school uniform. Then... it's not correct if the child who want the proper school uniform can also start speaking about the medical aid of his dog. Then it's already getting out of order. And to put it simply, I'm indicating to say when African representatives are at an international platform, are they asking questions that are related to Africa? Are they asking questions that are related to Africa? And I was also impressed, particularly... which is quite necessary. You must con that who think can be able to lead the United Nations and take us out of challenges, particularly challenges that we did not cause as Africans, particularly challenges of economic exploitation, challenges of resources just leaving the continent like that, challenges of a divided Africa, and also challenges of what people don't speak about is that everybody's speaking about African integration, but the aim is the unity of Africa. The only person who I see speaking openly about the United State of Africa, I think is Julius Marem, Joshua Maponga, and Patrice Lumumba. Other, part of the continent, they say, no, we need to work together. But because you already know that most of the leaders who spoke about the unity of Africa, they become dictators. You don't know where it come from. Some they lost power. And, they were overthrown. You know, read the history of Kwame Nkrumah. Somebody who was known to be the father figure when it comes to organization of African unity and also bringing people together and fighting apartheid too. A likable figure end up being overthrown too by his own people. Because when you start speaking about things which are making sense, when you start opening up your mind, then you become a threat. But can the African leaders also ask those questions to say, when are you going to be represented at the council, and when are we going to be allowed to do our own thing, instead of us just be consumer and become the case study of the world, especially when it comes to poverty and other sector. So to listen to the questions from a representative of Mali to the UN, and we also look at what did Namibia say at that audition. It's a tough seat, it's a hot seat, and even Miss Madame Michere, who at one point was the president of Chile for two non-consecutive terms, she broke history, being the first woman to get the presidency in Chile. And maybe she also break, you know, the records of UN again, to be the first, you know, SG, first female SG. But there are candidates on who are lined up. And today Africa is also going to speak on that platform. And we see how Mati Sali will be able also to navigate the interview of 193 diplomats of the world. Listen to the representative of Mali, and we also look at what Namibia have also said at that global platform.
Peace in terms of finishing the conflict, but also on sustainable peace. So that's why I'm thinking it's also a very important issue on security. And also because young people, those much more technology than others, can be also a very important issue on cybersecurity.
I thank you. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Mali on behalf of the African group, followed by Australia, and then the first member states in its national capacity, Liechtenstein.
Thank you, Madam President. Excellencies, Madam Bachelier, welcome to the welcome for this. I welcome this dialogue with the membership. I have the honor to raise two set of questions on behalf of the African group. The first set of questions will be on peace and security, and the second one will be on development. On peace and security, Africa's exclusion from permanent membership of the Security Council reflects both historical injustice and the ongoing structural inequity affecting decision on the central on issues central to the continent. What is your position on the African Common Position on the reform of the Security Council, and how would you use the convening authority of the office to advance intergovernmental negotiations? Second question on peace and security. The Resolution 2719 of the Council created a framework for the AU-led peace support operation to assess contributions, yet implementation has stalled. How would you approach the third year review, and how would you address the continued political resistance? The third question I have concerning the peace and security concerns Africa's country future, prominently the peace-building commissions. How would you strengthen its role and ensure adequate resourcing for peace-building fund? On development, development remains Africa's foremost priority. How would you review the relationship between the Agenda 2030, the 2030 Agenda and the Agenda 2063? And how would you ensure UN support is anchored in African-owned development framework? What concrete action would you take to advance reform of international financial architecture, including improving African representation in international financial institutions and addressing bias in credit rating system? Africa loses more through illicit financial flow than it receives in official development assistance. What priority would we assign to addressing these flows and strengthening domestic resources mobilizations? How would you ensure climate finance? How climate finance mechanism, including loss and damage found. I thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Mali on behalf of the African group.
I think that in regard of the UN Security Council reform, there are different models, I understand, but all understand the need for adequate representation and addressing historical injustice. So I think it's critical to ensure Africa's voice in the Security Council. In terms of and the same happens with the AIFIs. I truly believe that AIFIs need to be reformed in many distinct issues, but on one, it has to have a better representation of the world today and not what happened after the Second World War. So we also need to improve AIFIs reforms so that we can have those voices there, analyze exactly, I mentioned before, if the mechanism that today are working in the World Bank on IMF are the ones that countries more in need are needed. And my impression is not. And that the only way to produce those changes is to have, in the places where decisions are made, the better representation of the voices of Africa and other places of the world that are not well represented and that where the current mechanisms are not working. Resolution 2719, I think this is a great advance because I believe that peace and security needs a bigger alliance between the UN and also regional forces. I believe that also there is places where maybe the UN is not the right place to do the job, but it's the regional organizations through its security forces who can do a better job. But it then sends the commitment of the UN to support with at least 75% of the budget, I think is a very important advancement that needs to be ensured that it could be, that it really will be supported. In terms of what you ask about development and priorities, yes, there will be an important given by myself and ensure how you can mobilize national resources. There are many countries who are looking forward to look for even internal resources, how they fight tax evasion, how they fight tax avoidance, how they fight illegal flow of money. And that is really important things that we can work together, help building capacity.
It's a very tough seat there, particularly at the UN. People want the job. The question is that what are you going to do? How are you going to do it? Not what we need to do, but you as an aspiring leader of the biggest multilateral institution in the world. Then also need to look at a Namibia representative to UN, especially in asking those critical questions to say what is in for us. Question is always to say what is in for us. What did Namibia ask at UN particularly through that interview? And I think it's the toughest position, because if you are faced with 193 member diplomats, most of these guys are experienced diplomats with doctorates and master's degree across the fields. You must not only be good with diplomacy, but you must understand engineering, you must understand statistics, you must understand finance, and most importantly, leadership and influence too, and international law. If you want to win this this position, it's not an easy position to get, because the whole world is watching. And also remember what you promise will also be able to be judged at the term. Let's look at what Namibia has to ask, especially through Tatependa Nanda at international forum.
sure that we are having the UN that the world needs in this new context that are completely different than old contexts. Incremental reform might be the only possibility, but doesn't mean lacking ambition. We need to have the ambition to understand if the UN is the one, if the UN doing what we have done in the past, improving all the mechanisms that the UNAD needs to improve, but if there's something else that we need to do. And of course, I believe that, again, that the way of revitalizing the UN is the UNAD, but also the possibility of the UN present, the UN visible, the SG visible, and also delivering on the results that people are expecting.
Thank you. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Namibia.
Thank you, Madam President. Namibia congratulates you on your nomination and acknowledges the positive contributions you have made towards a better world. In September 2024, the world leaders adopted a wide-ranging international agreement in many years, namely the Pact for the Future, a notable agreement that has reinvigorated the multilateral system and has given direction in a number of important global multilateral thematic issues. Yet your vision statement makes no reference whatsoever to this international commitment. My questions are as follows. One, what is your vision to implementing the Pact for the Future, and how best can the Secretariat support member states in its implementation ahead of the 2028 review of the Pact? Two, in the Pact for the Future, world leaders agreed that Africa should be treated as a priority and as a special case as far as the reform of the United Nations Security Council is concerned. What is your understanding of this unique decision taken by member states, and how would your office support this implementation? And three, it is commonly held that when women lead, peace follows. And in the true spirit of the Women, Peace and Security agenda, what advantage would you as a woman be bringing in addressing global hotspots that are plaguing the world, particularly in Gaza and Sudan? I thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Namibia. Please.
Yeah, I mentioned in some of my interventions the Pact of the Future because I really value it. I think it was a great result. It was an agreement that really put the essential important commitments of the international community, of the General Assembly, and I think we need to implement it. I understand the Secretariat is working on ways to implement it, and of course we will implement it and continue on that direction. I believe that it was really important that the Pact of the Future considered that Africa wasn't a priority, because it is a priority. Of course, we all know that Africa has huge opportunities, but also it has challenges, and many of those challenges need to be considered in a very specific way. And also, I already mentioned that on the Security Council, we need a better representation. And if there are regions of the world that aren't well represented, they should be represented. On women and peace and security, yes, women can be very important agents of peace because they are there in the territory, because they're part of the communities, they're very active on that. Because women tend to dialogue, that doesn't mean that women cannot fight and cannot be aggressive sometimes or cannot be like any other person, but women understand the importance of dialogue, the importance of peace, because there are the children who go to war, there are the children who have to go as soldiers, and because they understand also that the importance of a sustainable peace society will provide to their families, to the future generation, opportunities.
titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Yeah, that is what is happening, particularly at that international forum. And let's go to a short commercial break. From there, we'll look at what International Monetary Fund has advised, what they have said, particularly looking at sub-Sahara African economic outlook, and also to point out some of the cases such as food insecurity, poverty, infrastructure, development, and also to draw the lines between international investors and domestic financing, and also spoke on financial or structural reform of financial system, and also find a better way of spending wisely, particularly during this hard time. And you can also be able also to see that the analysis has also given or differentiated between import or oil import countries and also oil export countries, particularly how they are going to survive throughout this hard time of an ending war. And also to indicate to say supporting and also protecting all the vulnerable can be one of the better moves that oil import countries can do. Such as Namibia, because if you are holding the price of oil, but sometimes in you must also come up with it's also indicated that you must come up with a long-term solution, especially when it comes to maintaining, protecting the high cost of living. Because ask yourself this question: out of all this crisis, when is the price of oil going to come down in Namibia? Are we going to have a review at any point where it's going to say maybe 1 liter is $18, or it's just continuation of expansion of of the price? And in terms of human standard of living and also the price of commodities, are we catching up? Because we have already oil, we have already electricity, we have already the cost of housing, where everybody is competing with that. If you want to check how things are going, look at the standard of young professionals in Namibia, then that can be able to tell you the future. To say, which one are you picking? Are you picking oil? Are you picking a better house? Or you are looking at electricity? And at what rate are we going to catch up? It's the same question that you should also ask to say, with the population of Windhoek, for example, just a general question you can give. The population of Windhoek, for example, almost 500,000. And with almost more than half of the people do not have proper housing, how is the scheme and the project of building affordable houses catching up with, the people? And at what rate are we going to catch up? Because at some point we must catch up. China catch up, Singapore catch up, other developed countries catch up, Rwanda also catch up. But how are we going to catch up? And when IMF is saying look inside your house for solutions, not outside, what do they really mean? And what are we doing about it? And what is the relationship between IMF advice and what our countries is trying to do? And I was also impressed to see that almost all the advice that are given by IMF are the same things that we said we were going to do, especially through our NDP6. Maybe they are going to be realized within a given time, but the question is that practical solutions that are coming out of that context. And remember, from there, then we also look at the Villager newspaper. However, you have an opportunity to engage us at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. 01. Stay tuned because we are here until the hour of 8.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Innovate
staff. My friend,
staff.
Why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoewe ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu honda doili nawa. Nune ujo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali mbali no heali. Ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
It's 8 minutes past the hour of 7, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And as we indicated that, when you look at the latest, April economic outlook to sub-Saharan African region, you'll be able to see that, the International Monetary Fund has, first acknowledged and noted the fast progress that Africa was making in 2025. And I was really concerned when they are indicating that the stability that was there in 2025 has caused African economies to perform very well. And understand that we are not part of that as Namibia. When IMF is acknowledging the fast progress of African economies growing in 2025, IMF meant Zimbabwe, meant Uganda, meant Sudan, meant, other countries. But nevertheless, it also indicated that the year 2026, African economies started at a good note, resilient, and also growing in terms of either commodity prices, and also improve living standard. However, the progress was cut short by the current Middle East conflict that has also allowed re-evaluation of what has been predicted, especially in 2026, to say the growth expected to reach 4.3 the regional growth, that is sub-Saharan Africa, except to reach 4.3, with 0.3% point lower than a pre-war forecast, because you know, there is always unpredictability. If you say the Namibian economy is going to grow by 3%, over 3% in 2026, that is your prediction, it's your projection. But that does not mean that there is no other things that can come on the way. That's why we always spoke to about economic scenario planning, to say what would happen. And what if questions have always been put on the table, to say what if our trade relations with our good partners deteriorate tomorrow? What if they pulled out and focus on other interests? What if they got satisfied with what we are selling them? What if they put the price down so that, you know, they because they have a lot of options? And on that ground, it also stated that also have a very dangerous impact on developing economies. However, the critical matter here is what oil import countries need to do. IMF indicated that once the price of oil start increasing, the most affected people are the downtrodden and the vulnerables. Because just imagine if there was no 500 million put on the table by the Namibian government to defend us from increasing oil price. The first person to suffer is a taxi driver. When the taxi driver starts suffering, the taxi driver will also complain and start increasing the price. Then if you increase the price of a taxi, then you also be forced now to put more pressure, more money coming from the downtrodden going up. You also be forced to have more pressure from the downtrodden people. The domestic workers will not be able to send their kids to school because the price have increased. Even if they send their kids to school through via taxi, then they could not afford the commodity prices such as, you know, bread and butter. That's why IMF give a technical advice to say African countries must focus on protecting the vulnerables, which I think in this context Namibia has done well in a short term, particularly keeping you know, the oil price at bay. The increment was felt but not really felt, because we kept that at bay. But the question should always be to say, in the long term, how are we going to do? Because that was our first, you know, short-term survival mechanism. And IMF is saying, poverty, the projection in terms of how many people will be in poverty, will also be food insecure. It's increasing, because it stated that 20% rise in global food prices could push over 20 million people in sub-Saharan Africa into food insecurity. 20 million people in sub-Saharan Africa into food insecurity. That is what IMF is indicating. And when they are speaking about 20 million people, who are they speaking about? You don't need somebody to say Namibia will also be impacted. You just need to indicate, to say, what can Namibia do so that can be able to survive that context. The other thing which was indicated, apart from poverty, is also the aspect of what other things that African countries need to do. Sub-Saharan Africa's IMF state that boosting regional integration can improve supply chain resilience. Regional integration. And I'm seeing that the Nekundi and the Botswana Transport Authority, they are doing incredible job there, especially when it coming to connecting the country with other regional players, especially if you want to smoothen transportation and also make sure that the trade happens smoothly. Let's look at Imba and come back shortly.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop, and when IMF is looking at regional integration, you know, I think the economists at IMF, they are also starting to be independent, to realize, to say, Africa have tried all means to develop, but it has always been falling behind. Then the best way is regional integration. SADC trade, ECOWAS trade, EAC trade, Central Africa trade, North Africa trade, and then we can also come to African continental free trade area. The very important question is that regional integration is not a problem. The problem is that who is going to trade at the regional, in the regional integration? Is it the domestic businesses or is the state only? And ask yourself this question to say, if how many Namibian entrepreneurs you can really indicate to say they can trade regionally, they can trade with SADC, they can supply with SADC. How many business people that you know in Namibia can supply to SADC a product or a service? How many consultant firms we have in Namibia that can work in South Africa, Botswana, and even in Nigeria? Because regional integration means that if John Okafor in Nigeria has a court case, can just call Sisana Manji or Kadira Amu to say, fly here, come and deal with this issue. It's not only about products, it's about other services. If somebody in Egypt has a problem with engineering, can just call Namibia Engineering Services and many other engineers in Namibia to say, fly here and come and sort out this issue. But how many Namibian companies do we have that can compete regionally? And you know that economists have also predicted that the unpreparedness of domestic businesses can also cause the collapse of the country, particularly if you open up with free market. Because there is no difference between Africa continental free trade area and the free market economy that the Western world have been advocating for. It's only now this time is happening in Africa, and also keeping the resources at you know, in the continent and improving the continent. On the other thing that the report has also indicated is the aspect of deepening domestic financial market. Deepening domestic financial market. Focus on domestic financing. When you have a budget which has a gap, your borrowing should be domestically. Because there outside you are going to lose, you continue losing. There is nothing coming from outside that that will not cost you. We are not saying we should not operate from the in the outside level, but we are saying the cost is still there, although people don't speak about this. We speak about repaying of a euro bond. We don't necessarily open up about how much did we pay in the interest and why it was so painful. Because if you want to see that it was very painful, just look at the statement of the Minister of Finance, especially at the day of the day of the announcement that Namibia have paid its Eurobond. Look at the statement. After we celebrated and all this, Mr. said, no, we are not going to focus on domestic finance. The question was, what lesson did you learn when you went outside and borrowed money for a developmental project? It cost you more than you thought? Was it very painful to remobilize funds so that, you can pay back that money? We paid on time, but I think I have that view that we have felt the pain of paying back in that period of time because we thought it could have a different impact. But that's why IMF is saying domestic financing is necessary. And also structural reform and also fighting of corruption, wise spending, and most importantly, investment in technology and also reliable electricity. That is the center of it, investment in technology and the reliable electricity. If you can trace back our conversation, either it's on energy, other part is that the investment in those infrastructure that can take you for a very long time. Do you know that if we could have started, for example, uranium plant in 1994, we would become a continental power. We would become a continental powerhouse. If we started in early 2000, we could become a continental powerhouse. And do you know that if we continue to put aside the conversation of a possibility of uranium plant, we continue to be behind. And we are not going to be happy, especially when we were just Namibia who was downgraded from, her category. Just Namibia who was downgraded from her category because of the vulnerability of our economy. If Botswana maintain a standard, we must really be concerned because there is a gap which need to be filled. Even imagine if, even at the point where Namibia depend almost everything from the external world, we are still not able to build the economy. What will happen when the external world is also shocked by the Middle East conflict? So those are the things that we need to look at. And what broader project are we coming about? And the main concern is not about nothing is happening in Namibia. There's a lot of things happening in Namibia. But at what cost? At whose interest? Who is benefiting from those resources? And we are not saying we don't want investors. Investors, we appreciate them. But we need people that meet investors at their frequency too. To say if you are operating at a frequency of 70%, 30%, maybe that is short term. But we must approach that with the future of one day Namibia will take over their own industry, or even to pay out, not just to take what other countries are doing, but to pay out to those who invested in our country so that we can control the strategic sectors. Think about it this way. At what point do you think Namibia will have a control of its oil? I am not saying in the next 20 years. Is the plan even there, or the plan is just to get the oil out of the ocean or out of where it is underground? Because the plan must always be there to say, okay, this is what we are predicting, this is what the capacity we are learning, but at the end of the day, we are going to gradually not to take over everything, but gradually be in charge of strategic economic sectors. Because if a company is making more money than the state revenue, then understand that you have less power to say anything. You have less power to influence your own decision and policies. If people are already starting to get oil and the fight is still in parliament about the Petroleum Amendment Act, I think we must really not just be concerned, but we must pay attention and find ways what academic advice can be given. I read a very interesting paper. It's an analysis by Shikongo Law Firm that is looking at the petroleum amendment bills. It was so objective to that extent that it gave both perspective of the advantages and disadvantages of that proposed bill and what needs to be done in that aspect. And if we can read the paper and we can advise each other, then I think we can find the amicable solutions. Because if you bring to parliamentarians a policy that's saying do this, it must be convincing in terms of numbers, and it must also have practical examples of what have happened. And we must also look at arguments too of parliamentarians. It's a very interesting debate that happened, particularly when people start speaking about Petroleum Amendment Act. It's a very interesting argument to say people, they went and do their research and say, this is what happened in other countries when a policy of such nature have happened, but this is what happened to Namibia. But the question is that also to say, even if you look at that Amendment Act, if Namibia in 15 years will have a different president, will that act be advantageous, or can that act be the reason of our defeat? That those are questions that we need to ask ourselves. If in 30 years we have a different, maybe a young president, maybe it's a bond-free president, maybe it's a new generation of Namibian leaders, will that act that is being proposed going to be advantageous, or is going to be the end of us? Because if you have a president who can be influenced in the future, that can be dangerous. But if you have a president who understands the vision and what needs to be done, it's even fast decision, as it has been explained to say, is to fasten the process to avoid corruption and promote transparency. But you know already that there are also those who can give wrong advice, and things can also get out. Look at what happened to, to AJ. Not AJ Gupta, but the Gupta family in South Africa. What these guys did is that they did not fight for positions. They look at the real issue. They look at the money. To say that Zuma, this is what we do. This is the list of companies. This is priorities. All government tenders. This is priorities. And they become stronger than the state. That's why people were appointed in the street, not in the street because they don't know anything. People were appointed at the restaurant to say, don't you want to be a minister of finance? That's how complicated state capture was in South Africa. But I think the paper, particularly from academics and lawyers too, must be able to write to give a legal opinion, particularly regarding handling of financial resources. Even the contracts too, we understand that most of the contracts can be, because of nature of diplomacy, can be a bit of secret. But at least those who are entering those rooms must understand that when it comes to those contracts, must really be re-looked at, because we cannot afford to continue losing. We are already losing economically. We are already the last born in terms of receiving of products. We have been discriminated during COVID-19, the whole Africa. But maybe we should learn a lesson too on what needs to be done. Good morning. Yes, how are you?
No.
Gurina. Yeah. What's up?
Yeah.
How are things? What is your view?
No, you know the issue of the oil in Nigeria. Not only oil. You know when we talk of economy, you know, it's not about sovereignty and the ownership. Economy is it?
Just hold on.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's all about whose economy is this, man. The ownership.
You know,
it's not our economy.
It's our economy. We are just not in charge of it.
Yeah.
It's our economy. Just somebody who is, we just don't take ownership of it. Chafiko no, unene wambewe dipa kushokuru mara ha kadishi na tango kadiri mika shawe.
Ndi ni?
Unene wambe mara kadiri mika shawe.
Ayo mbo
kadiri shawe. Oh, diri kadiri naremos.
You acquire the knowledge to own. It's not yours. She's already there. You can't do anything. Ask me. We are just complaining.
Yeah.
We are not speaking. But you know what? It's not our economy. Look, the problem is here. Look. Ask me. You go in Parliament. Even the issue of that, like oil amendment bill or whatever you are talking about. Let's be there. A problem that you can know when you replace scientific research, with the decision in Cabinet and with the decision in Parliament, or with the decision in the board, because there's no scientific research was done. People are just there debating who can explain on the table, but not on the basis of the scientific research. That is the problem.
But are the experts not consultant?
Look, consultant, but you are saying, look, it must be like this. You know, when you talk of the Chikongo Lopen or something, those are people who do it on their own, give their own perspective. You know, those are individuals who are not in Parliament. They are not in Cabinet. But this is what people have go extra mile just to do a research about. But you know, people who just wake up in their Parliament there, they are making decisions about it. Single. And the decision is going to be made without any scientific research of a short term, long term, and what was. Ask me, we were lucky because some of the things were already done. Go back to even the history. For instance, Iran. When they start those Middle East, the government didn't own anything there. But see, later, you know.
But they had the process, ne?
They had the process. Now, that's why actually we are still using the old-fashioned way of thinking. Because if you could have do a scientific research about the oil industry globally in those countries, how the ownership was attained, then you could have a better model to put on the table now. It's like people went in the revolution struggle. They said, no, now it was military, now we have to fight economy. That was the wrong approach. Because you cannot leave economy out of existence. Now they're saying, now the fight is now about economy.
So you want to tell me that the fight was lost at independence, or what? What do you mean? I want to get your point to say when you speak about that, you want to say the fight was already lost on.
Because people thought you can politics and economy are two different things. No.
You are making sense.
You see, those are two things that it's a yin and yang. You can't divide the two.
It's true.
You cannot fight the military, then you say, apparently, we are going to come back to economy later. No. What mathematics are you using?
That's why advanced countries, those things are interlinked.
Yes. economy cannot be divided. It's a equivalent.
Mm.
You can't divide the two. That's why you say the issue of, like, we can't, and that's where the problem is now as a country. There is no scientific research done.
But looking at what is happening, especially when you look at developmental projects, the question is always here to say, how are we going to get there? How are we going to get there, particularly in terms of project? Because I think we have a lot of things on our plate, and also. I want to get things out. You know, if you read, for example, what's happening with the stadium of our national stadium for the soccer, is to say it require billions of dollars, and the question is always to say, is this even going to be a concluded project at a given time? And also other things, we are embarking a lot of things, but I'm trying to get that out to say, where is the main problem? When you look at Eighth Administration, you must really see that they have a very good intention, and you see it in pronunciation.
What is happening not only with Eighth Administration? That's the problem we have. You know,
so what
tell us how who cares about it? If you are not. You see, who cares about you with your good intentions? Who cares about you with it? At the end of the day, there's no tangible result. Everybody can think, you know, can promise anything, you know, by that.
But are we what about us citizens? Are we also sabotaging the development too?
When you are in a society where the society also does not understand.
Because when you look at IMF, the formula was to say, okay, the state enter into the aspect of making sure that the environment is conducive, then private sector is capacitated and is equipped. But when you read the report of Bank of Namibia, I realize that private sector is shrinking, and there is little trust that you see from financial institutions to give to this private sector. Then you ask yourself a question to say, how are we going to get where we want to get into? You know, he's not doing his job. Yeah.
There's only one thing that we left as a country. Sovereign threshold as a state, as a country. We don't have it. We don't have a sovereign threshold. Ownership to say, look, in terms of this, you know, you categorize things. Ownership must be like
that. Are we not?
You must put it. Then you give it to people now, their mind to think how to get back. You understand?
How did we get to the issue of where did we get that 51%?
That was even by me. Because in other sectors you are asking 51%,
other you are asking two.
You are asking two. That's why you said that, as a country, you don't have a sovereign threshold. Ownership to say, in terms of economy and everything, even law itself. That's why you said, I have come across, you know, the research. It was a research paper. Maybe there were a lot. You know what the Chinese did? They want to see how far the Western law influenced laws in China. Now they have to use students abroad and the first students inside the country to come to the conclusion to analyze a lot of laws in the country. To say, look, they have to take a decision to say, look, let's see whether the laws that you are making now, this one was really influenced by what? By the Western laws or not. You see? So that they know which are, look.
Whose interest are we serving? Yeah.
Because they wanted to say, when this law is failing, it was introduced in the country, it's going well, it's not doing well. What is the problem? To say, no, let's see whether there is much foreign influence in that law or not. People have to research about it. They have to send, the government has to send sponsor students, both inside and abroad.
To say who is, because you are making sense to say who is benefiting from this law, and
who's benefiting from this law?
Can you really come up with something that they're saying, I do not want my resources, you can give them to David?
You see, now the research, the result has to come. Then the government has now, in parliament and everything, they have now to make a decision comparatively now to see where are they going to fit.
I think they do that also with academics. I just cannot remember. I was reading, there was a paper that was looking at the study of corruption in China, and they studied students who went to Western business school. Then the result was so interesting also because they also have to come to the point of stopping them to come to some of the Western business schools, especially what they learn there, because they realize that some of these guys, they come up with a lot of strategies, and it's about, you know, personal, not about about the country. I think I really need to get that. It was a very interesting research on corruption to say, no. Let's, yeah.
We ask you, there are fundamentals. Things that are wrong with us. Because just imagine somebody just wake up, they are in management, apparently they sit in that boardroom that morning, they make a decision of the law, you have to be like, then that's the end. Instead of to say, look, you need the scientific research. Let everybody involved go to the student in affairs, give them. Also, because it's a national issue, let the student, you know, give you gossip information about it.
Yeah, that
out of 100, but my friend, you're still going to get one, something very unique. Because it's like you want people to find solution, but with us, to say, no, parliament is the solution, cabinet is the solution, minister is the solution. No, he has a solution from where? Some of them, they are not even in the field which they did not study.
No, I hear you. Okay, now let's park that. I want your opinion on you can say one or two things, because next week there's a contestation of NAST vice chancellor's position, and NAST in Namibia is a Tekonic university where we look at science. Industrialization, although there are also other courses, but that was the aim at the beginning. What is your expectation? Not really to say who is going to win, but also when it comes to industrialization in Namibia, what do you think the new vice chancellor need to look at?
You know, when we talk of Namibia or University of Science and Technology, my expectation is just to move away from consuming technology, rather than technology. That's what I want to see. The face of university must be rebranded to look like that. Not the consumer of technology. The technology they are producing. You can't say University of Science and Technology when there's not any technology being produced, or even that is being produced, they are not even producing any technology.
That was supposed to be what is it? MIT, it was supposed to be a Namibia MIT.
That was supposed to be the foundation. When we talk of technology, that institution is supposed now to make sure that it produced, all the experiments.
All the research,
the research about technology, manufacturing.
Just hold on, then we conclude. Just hold on.
A Eshi wataloka umeko embelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo nowe wia kofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paket. Top score instant. Oyaita pwefindano talishambula, lo kushuna kofikola, mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo uningo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu, ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe danamibia, oshipu ne ngono, lando kashako oko KG mwe ele KKG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshilongo ashishe, ndeto SMS oshicha instant. Totumu kombali, oneveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli, otali kulmo milongo natu nali mwe amarija mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. E mangono malandula fano odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they think because then they are saying the University of Science and Technology.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can see that maybe they are using technology. I've seen maybe the kids sometimes they can't go to, they are just home, they are in classes. It's fine.
Yeah.
Right? Online. Mm-hmm. And everything. It's okay. But whose technology is it? You are just a consumer. You are just using the technology. You go in the global market, then you bring the technology. Now you wanted to say, this is a university now that is pushed in the position in the country. Hell no, there's no such a mathematics.
How many tech entrepreneurs were produced?
Because they need now, they need to say, they have to embark on the path of reverse engineering. When I said in technology, there's nothing because you need to learn. Né? That's why you say, car is just car. You know, the person who invented the cell phone, just one person. But there are a lot of brands. It's because of the reverse engineering.
Yeah, people have come up with their own.
People have to come up with their own.
Now we have a computer scientist and a mathematician competing for the post. I think it's a fair contestation. Let's see. No. I just want to see to say maybe they have a vision too. I don't know.
It's not for the first time. It's not that they are not doing anything. The Gideon is with you now. Isn't that like that?
Yeah.
He was the other like that. I don't know where he is.
He's heading Namibia Research, it's a Research Commission. What is it?
Or research, research and institution and that is not only for a research and that is not a student more. We just do research to pass. Not that those research are going to be used anything in terms of development and
Especially with science, even at TUNAM, you see students have projects, but not to that extent of being funded. I think it's just at the school level. You see, even engineering students, there are those who came up with,
they must know. You just need a different mindset, a paradigm shift in mind. Whoever took over now, let the foundation of that university must be reverse engineering. To do reverse engineering, you have to embark on what you call a parallel study, a compare contrast. See what is there, and how can you produce the same thing from that thing which you are using. Then we are starting moving as a country.
Okay, thank you.
We are moving forward.
Whatever happening in technology, we are interested because we are speaking about industrialization. Because those who are supposed to lead, or those who must lead us into the area of industrialization, science and technology, research commission, national planning commission, NIDA, those are supposed to be our frontline soldiers when it comes to industrialization. Those are the industries that were supposed to be at the front line. Because if you are speaking about AI, we see that there are qualifications on AI, but what did we do? If you are speaking about a cyber warfare, which war are we going to win? Yes, we want the liberation. Economic, we are struggling. Cyber warfare, how are we going to win that war? And those who are the frontline soldiers of industrialization, what are they doing? To say, if institutions such as Namibia University of Science and Technology are supposed to lead us to look at, maybe we should also speak about the interests or maybe the relationship between academicians and also, state. To say, is the state willing to gamble on funding bigger research projects that can bring about changes? Because if we cannot even make a phone battery until now, or even chargers or earphones, maybe there are people that are making earphones. I don't know. Maybe you can correct me when I'm wrong. Know that we continue to be a market. We are supposed to bridge that to say, no, how can we come up with a quality fast charger instead of I'm only using a charger for 2 months, then I create another opportunity for somebody. And because if you look at what EU does, EU say, no. This business of technology must also be looked at. Look at the current update on technology. When EU is also saying, no, we need replaceable batteries. Because sometimes it's also another way of continue keeping me paying. So countries that are very clever, they come up with quality products. Yes, there used to be a phone called 3310, a Nokia phone, very strong. It's good for a consumer, but it's not good for a producer, because once I buy that, it can even take me 10 years without replacing it. The battery can be working for unimaginable numbers of days. But now you understand that everything is connected. But who is going to bridge that gap? Whatever happening at science and technology, we are interested. Whoever is going to take over. So pure Namibians, we have a mathematician on the other side of the ring. Then we have a computer scientist. And fighting for that host, a very important position. A very respected position. But you also need to navigate the political arena. Plus, the very strong council, and also we need to convince the public why you are number one. But for now, let us look at the Villager newspaper for today to say why you should not miss the Villager newspaper for today. That if you look at on top of the page of the Villager newspaper, you'll be able to get the context of what is happening, particularly when we speak about e-hailing, Windhoek Ebenus, speak about convenience and efficiency of using online booking of transportation. That is the aspect of InDrive, Lefa, Yango, Yene, and many others. Read that context and get that opportunity. And remember, when it comes to technology, even if you own taxis currently, know that the things are changing, things are shifting. Because if you are failing to change, you'll be like a Nokia CEO who was crying when they were beaten by other innovative companies for just failing to change. Good morning.
Yeah, morning, David. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
Hmm.
Yeah, why do people complain that no, China no grandi, China's product no grandi, what? after a few days or sometimes the thing has already, you know, gone out of fashion.
No, do you know that China is a producer of most of the quality things in the world? It depends on which one you want to buy. Even things that you buy in South Africa.
Your own indigenous material.
Come again?
So they use their own indigenous material.
Yeah, they give you cheaper things. They also give you expensive quality things. It depends on which one you choose to buy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm saying that, what I'm saying is that, so, you know, they have lifted, I think China is the only country who has lifted up many, many millions of people from out of poverty. And in terms of the population and their product, like you are saying, you see, in economic, political economy, which is also very, very crucial, what you need to do is to make sure that at least, like you said, I'm just supporting your point where you say, yes, if you now buy a Nokia or whatever that can last for 5 years, can you imagine in the space of 5 years, how many people would have been created, job employment has been created within that span of time?
Yeah.
If all this product has to last that time, you have social and political chaos. You see, are you getting me? Because people are no longer going to be employed. Manufacturers and all these creators and things like that and content, whatever. So they are going to be obsolete.
No, it's not in that context. I was speaking about your contribution to new technologies, to say somebody can sell you anything without you having an option rather than just buying.
Yeah, that's what I understand, but I'm putting it in my own context. That's why I'm saying it is very important also for the manufacturers or for those who are creating employment for that, for themselves or for whoever, so that economic scale, so that they can also, if you now produce, like in your own case, I just want to use your scenario as a case study here now. So then people just buy those Nokia, for example, and they will last for 10 years. Nobody's producing again and go and buy.
And you know, the challenging question in Namibia is that when you question the 36 years of independence and you ask a question to say, how many innovators did we produce in technology? How many did we produce in engineering? What are the new development that we brought even at the regional affairs? You must really be concerned that we focus more on producing somebody to work, even in the area where we need innovation. And you cannot pinpoint one or two person. In medicine, we can be very proud of, what is the name of the doctor? The one for eyes.
The one for?
For eyes, Memendume, for example.
Okay.
You can say Namibia, we did well in that aspect, having an individual who can do even things that cannot be done in Europe and in any other part of the world. But in other areas such as technology, engineering, we just have technicians. And the people, they get very angry. Show me a contribution that we have done in that aspect.
I used to complain a lot at my work there. And then I said, this computer, you only have to repair it.
Yeah.
And the people need to start being educated to produce software and many, many other things that they, perhaps they don't, beyond the technician.
Coming up with one computer, even per year, we want just one computer.
So let's invest on these things. Let's also encourage our learners, because most of these courses, field, people have been mocking them. And we have seen that the people from the VTC, those special education, they can really have the potential to produce some of these things. But what do we do? We sign them, we discourage them to go to VTC, and because of that colonial mentality. So let's encourage our children also to go there.
All right, thank you.
We're leaving little time for us, man.
All right. I leave what?
a little, very little time for us.
I'm always indicating that you can call in any time because it's a talk show and it's a conversational
yeah,
program.
Sometimes you don't call, but once a friend comes in, that's all end of the day.
Now you are all my friend. I'm a friend to all and enemy to none.
Okay. I love that. Thank you very much.
All right.
God bless.
Yeah. Yeah, that will bring us to the end of our conversation. Make sure that you read the Villager newspaper. Either you look at the context, the story of International Monetary Fund is also found at in the Villager newspaper. You'll also be able to find out Velvicia University application, postgraduate diploma in higher education. If you want to become an advanced educator or a researcher, make sure that you look at that application. Is ending the 31st of May. And you can also be able to get in-depth context. But also know institutions such as Sunshine Private College is still offering courses such as Diploma in Early Childhood Development, Postgraduate Diploma Secondary Education, Bachelor's of Honors in Education, Certificate in Competency in Early Childhood Development, and make sure that you visit the Villager newspaper, and many other stories that you can be able to get. So, from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around, and we transfer the mic to the big mic. Bye-bye.